What the f***?
No, it's okay. On this show, you can say fuck.
It's another Saturday night. I'm Josh Hadley. With me is the cat.
Hello.
As well as the McMullen.
We're all you've got.
I know. But I did add a the before your last name. That somewhat elevates you.
That's an upgrade, sure.
I'm foregoing dumbest thing tonight because other than this first thing, which doesn't qualify as dumbest thing, it's all relatively heavy topics. So do you trust the news at all? I mean, the TV news, the newspapers. What level of trust would you say you have in the news?
Little to none.
I try not to generalize about it. I mean, most times when I watch the news or read the paper, I take everything with a big grain of salt because it's all through the eyes of a reporter who tried really hard not to be biased, but it happens. It happens all the time. But I try not to generalize. I take it on a case-by-case basis.
And I worked in a newsroom, and I know how you can unintentionally get biased. So you might not go in with bias as a reporter of saying, this is what I want to tell, but you might get moved that way almost without your own volition, if that makes any sense. That does happen.
It does. It makes sense. Because I worked in a newsroom for a while, too, when I was doing the comic strip. I think a lot of people are biased without even knowing it. I think it just comes out, and editors are overworked. There's a lot of times when they just can't care enough to check everything.
This thing is completely independent. This is the public policy polling. They have no side. They're not Democrat. They're not Republican. They are middle of the ground. Well, they did a survey. And Charlie and I, you and I talked about this last year before Kat was on the show. So that's why Kat missed it. The numbers have actually skewed a little worse than last year. Now, in this unbiased poll, they found 35% of Americans trust Fox News more than any other outlet, followed by 14% for PBS, 11% for ABC, 10% for CNN, 9% for CBS, 6% for Comedy Central, 6% for MSNBC, and only 3% of NBC. At the same time, Fox News led as the least trusted news outlet at 33%, 19% for MSNBC, 14% for Comedy Central, 11% for CNN, 5% for ABC, 4% for CBS, and 2% for NBC and PBS, tying at that. How is Fox News both the most trusted and least trusted news outlet?
Well, it has a lot to do with Republicans kind of unanimously saying, yes, we like Fox News, we trust them, and whatever that says about them, whatever. Whereas Democrats have more shows to watch, basically. They have more news outlets to choose from, so there's a higher diversity. If it was only MSNBC and only Fox News basically representing those parties, then there would be a higher placement of trust in MSNBC, even though they're as bad as Fox. But really, you know, in terms of like news you can watch every day, they really only have Fox News to watch, so that's why they pull so high.
Well, I am among that 6% that trusts Comedy Central for news more than any other outlet.
Yeah, I want to point out, when we did this last year, they had a much higher grading, so they've gone down in trustworthiness, apparently.
Probably once news hit about Stephen Colbert taking over for Letterman when he retires from The Late Show. I'm sure that has something to do with it. But I don't know. I think Fox News is the brightest beacon one way or another of all major news outlets, more so than CNN, more so than MSNBC, and the four big three big networks, because I don't know. I mean, conservatives know where to go more than anyone else knows where to go, because Fox News is A, the most upfront about its bias, and B, Fox News gets so much press from other news outlets because of how wrong and fucked up they more often than not are.
But then is it wrong that negative press helps them?
It's wrong, but it's not surprising, because I think a lot of people say, I trust Fox News the least, even if they had never watched Fox News, just based on what they've heard on other channels. You know what I'm saying?
Then what does it say that last year when we looked at this poll, HBO actually charted? Well, HBO has no chart on this anymore. And I think with both Real Time and now Last Week Tonight with John Oliver, I think HBO, honestly, I think Last Week Tonight is the most unbiased of all news shows out there right now, possibly with PBS. I've always found PBS to be pretty even, honestly. Whereas MSNBC obviously skews to the left. Fox skews to the right. CNN skews to neither because they don't care about news one way or the other. CBS, they blew all their credibility in the Bush era. NBC falls into the same trap as MSNBC. And ABC, they're owned by Disney. Of course they're going to skew right.
I think John Oliver just needs to find his audience because he's not really a name. Because he took over as host of The Daily Show when Jon Stewart was directing a movie for about 3 months or so. And the ratings didn't really change too much one way or another. But now that he has a show on HBO, because it's only in its infancy.
I think the seventh episode airs this week.
I think once John Oliver finds his audience, he's going to get bigger numbers than The Daily Show. Like, he'll be up there with Bill Maher.
But see, from the six episodes of Last Week Tonight with John Oliver I've seen, he really has been even. And I think that's what people don't want in their news. They don't want even. Like back in the 80s, CNN was even. Keep in mind, they didn't have MSNBC or Fox to compete with, but they were even. They went after both sides. They were a very, very trusted news source. Of course, all that went away. Ironically enough, after Ted Turner, who's a conservative, sold them, they actually started leaning more to the left, but whatever. But nowadays, I think not only is it too crowded, but people go to where they want their ideals reinforced. If you're a Democrat, you go to MSNBC because they tell you what you want to hear. If you're a Republican, you go to Fox because they tell you what you want to hear. I don't think people want an unbiased news source anymore. I think they want to have their ideals reinforced.
Yeah, nobody wants to be told that maybe they're wrong. Everybody likes the idea of, yes, I'm right, and here's people who are going to feed me that reassurement at all times, no matter what. Nobody wants even the remote possibility that maybe they have to change something about the way they think. That's just too much for people to deal with.
But shouldn't the news be unbiased? I mean, maybe I am a stupid hippie right here, but to me, the news should be the facts of the case, not how the facts of the case work into my argument.
Ideally, that's exactly the way it should be. News should be completely unbiased. I've always wondered, like, the requirements for a reporting job, either in print or on television, I've always wondered about the requirements because you should look for the most politically uninvolved people that you can find, because I think the news should just be 100% facts and people should disseminate and make their own opinions. But now, in 2014, people don't want to do that. I don't know. I agree with Kat. I think people want their, I'll say, suspicions reinforced because it makes the news easier to take. Because the world is a fucking horrible place and the news is fucking depressing. The news is extremely depressing. And that's why I watch The Daily Show, because I need that comedy candy coating in order to take it. In The Daily Show specifically, I watch that because I want to know if my frustration with the world is founded in any way. Just to be able to tell myself that I'm not such a cynical asshole, that it's not just me.
So you're watching The Daily Show to have your ideals reinforced?
Pretty much, yes.
Well, going back to the previous point of why aren't news sources unbiased is because you are going to do whatever is going to get you higher ratings. It all comes back to money is the root of all evil. We can't.
It didn't used to, though, Kat.
It didn't used to, but that's the nature of media now is you have to pull in ratings. And that's why we have such, you just hear whatever the most extreme news is. You never really hear good news that often. Although, and this is part of that whole, you know, like draw people in. There's this trend now where, like, even my local news stations are putting, like, videos that have gone viral into, like, actual nightly news segments. So they will literally put up anything as long as it will get them the ratings, because the almighty dollar is telling them that news is no longer a form of information, it's a form of entertainment, even if that entertainment is really boring. Infotainment. There we go.
And I think that's part of the problem. Because, like I said, news didn't used to be like that. The news used to be what's called a loss leader. The news you knew was going to lose money, and then you would make up for that with the entertainment division and your other sales for papers and your TV networks, that the news was supposed to be the place where we don't play games. We don't care if it pisses off advertisers or pisses off some advocacy group. We tell the truth. Around the late 80s, that changed almost universally to the point where you got to make money at this. at one of the TV stations I worked at, we had a big incident when Taco John's was a big advertiser. Well, the local Taco John's was caught. They were shut down by the health department for massive health violations. Guess what we did not? What station was the only one in the area that did not report that? Because they were an advertiser. That, to me, is that shows you're not a journalist anymore. You're just a talking head. And I think most journalists would take offense at that while being unable to defend themselves from that accusation.
Yeah, the national media is just a bigger scale version of the Taco John's thing. Anything that your advertisers don't want reported will not be reported. Otherwise, the channel gets no money. Because for... Oh, my God. It's making me sick as I say it. Because William Randolph Hearst, he pioneered what's happening today.
Yellow journalism.
And that term over time was shortened to journalism. It makes me sick. I mean, Rupert Murdoch is William Randolph Hearst times a billion.
How can anybody actually say that they trust any form of media? Like, are people really just that hypnotized by the boob tube that they just don't see the bias and the skews and the just the sham that is modern media?
I think they see it. They don't care.
Right.
Because honestly, what are our alternatives? What do we have besides the television that we can trust? Nobody reads the newspaper anymore. Print is on its way out. And even there's bias.
In theory, it was supposed to be the internet.
But the internet is a cesspool.
Exactly. That's why I added the "in theory" before that.
Yeah, the internet worked on paper for news delivery, but I don't
ironically
know.
Enough, on paper.
Yeah.
So it's like, where else do we have to turn? Like, we know that the television has been around a lot and we've always trusted it in the past. And I feel like there's an instinctive desire to want to trust it, even though we know that there's bias out there because we don't have a whole lot left that we can put our faith in. Because nobody goes out and reads like papers and stuff, not just newspapers, but like publications that, you know, are where we get all of our, you know, where we cite all of our news from. That kind of stuff where people have gone in-depth and research and stuff, too fucking tedious. And nobody reads the newspaper anymore, except for the funnies, I guess. And you can't trust anything that you have on the internet. So I think we just naturally turn back to the television as our primary source of news.
That's the go-to. I mean, that's what everybody does because it's readily available all the time. Years ago, it was unfathomable to have a 24-hour news station. Nobody thought there would be enough news to fill 24 hours. And by and large, they were right about that.
The early days of CNN had a lot of entertainment coverage because you had 24 hours to fill, and just talking to some celebrity that happened to be in Atlanta, that filled time.
I.e. a squirrel on water skis.
That was the 90s, though.
Yeah, that's my favorite example of just killing time on a 24-hour news channel. I think people just need to... I think the alternative is... It's really sad to even think about it, to say out loud, but I think the alternative is just to keep an ear out in your peripheral for things that you might give a shit about, then look into it, then form your own opinion. I think you should have one news source that you trust that you just check periodically for things... I mean, you just scan for things that you might care about, then if you find something, then you look into it and form your own opinions. Josh Hadley is my one news source that I stick with.
Oh, that's going to come back to bite you.
I know.
It's horrifying.
It is.
That's why I always say doing this show is like my civic duty, because if not for this show, I would not even know anything that's going on in the news.
The way I look at it is, everyone keeps saying, this is something I heard during the Occupy Wall Street movement and all this, that why doesn't some rich bastard out there just form their own completely unbiased news agency and not care that it loses money as long as they're telling the truth? Because that's the point. You can't make money doing that. There's no money in the truth. There's money in pushing an agenda. This is right. Still all about money.
And you can't produce a show without money.
Exactly. So it's that Ouroboros. You're the snake eating your own tail. It's a circle jerk, and everybody's gonna get a cum shot in the face. That's just the way this works, unfortunately, nowadays. That's why, in theory, the internet should have been the equalizer, but then that quickly got co-opted by needing to make money, so that got pissed away, too.
Yeah, that's the rub. I mean, the internet should have been the equalizer because it gave everyone a voice. The problem with that is it gives everyone a voice.
Alex Jones.
Exactly. Alex Jones is a perfect example. There are people that take that dude seriously, and it's because of the
internet. He's a millionaire for doing that nonsense, too.
I think the only way to navigate the modern media scape is a combination of just finding a couple of sources that you trust and just blissful ignorance.
Well, I'd say a little common sense goes a long way. Blissful ignorance I highly approve of in many, many cases, because a lot of the times I feel like trying to understand everything that's going on in the world is just too overwhelming, and it's impossible to be fully informed on any one thing. It's just too hard. There's too much research that goes into it. So just use a little bit of common sense and, like, you know, cite your sources, try and learn what you can learn, but it's just too damn complicated. The world is too complex. I'm not saying you shouldn't try, but it's probably never going to make a difference if you are fully informed on every topic. So yeah, you know, pick a couple of news sources that you trust, but use common sense.
In a perfect world, I would not even know who the fuck Bergdahl is until he was officially charged with something. I think if the news stuck to only facts, it would cut down on a lot of the bullshit you gotta wade through to find something.
A pretty face reflected in a mirror, so perfect in every way. With every move, the picture's getting clearer. She's got it all, she's got it made. But when she smiles, is she really smiling? She's the only one who really knows. Emerald eyes, so cool and so inviting. Hide the side, she never shows. She's a lover, that's what they say. She's got it all, yeah, she's got it made. She's a lover.
Welcome to Heart Attack, mothers, brothers, fathers, sisters, and children of all ages. I'm Hart D. Fisher, and now we are going to take a break out of the what the fuck excitement to talk about more bullshit that's going to piss you off. Oh, man. Everybody's probably really fucking sick of me talking about bicycle bullshit. I mean, I know you are, right, Josh?
Fuck yeah.
And the reason I talk about this shit is because this is going on all over the country. This is happening in people's cities all over the country. It's not just L.A. or Portlandia that have this issue where they're trying to force people onto bicycles. It's happening all over. In Chicago, they had an issue where the mayor most likely is not going to get reelected in Chicago because he closed down schools for poor black people and poor Latino people, forcing the children across gang territory so that he could build bicycle lanes for white people on the north side. Good job, Obama's boy. Good job. Well, here in L.A., in September, starting in September. Remember, you know, you used to be able to just, you could slide right by a bike rider. You're on the road. You just kind of go around them. No big deal. Well, now they've made it so that you have to have 3 feet between you and the bicycles. Now, normally you want to have a little bit of room anyway, but sometimes in traffic, there's not a lot of room. And here where I live, the main street is called York. They removed a vehicle lane, so it's now a single lane. It's caused all kinds of traffic and congestion. It's driven a couple businesses out of business. And now they've got this 3 feet for safety act, which means that if you try to pass a bicyclist in their bike lane, just driving normally, legally in your lane on my main drag, you could get a ticket. That's right. You could get a ticket now, even though they're in their bicycle lane. So I'm saying these people in City Hall, the fuck is wrong with you idiots? So traffic is about to get a lot worse out here. And this feeds into the other side. So while they're inconveniencing all of us regular people, all of us regular folk, when they get into trouble, when the government's inconvenienced, things conveniently happen for them. Like we have ex-IRS official Lewis Lerner is being asked to testify over their IRS investigations with the Tea Party and with them going after their finances. And well, gosh, Lois Lerner's hard drive had been, it crashed and it's been recycled. So all of her emails from when they needed their emails for this Tea Party targeting controversy, oh, they're never going to be found according to multiple sources. All her emails are gone because there was a hard drive crash. Well, what about all the servers in the building? All the servers would have that stuff. You don't need to just have that one hard drive, do you? Oh, well, that, well, they mysteriously, the people, they, wait, just the even better.
Were sent to?
Yeah, but how about that one? Copies? What about that? That's a good one, too, because apparently they had a crash. The IRS had a crash, and they're unable to restore the data from back in 2011. Conveniently, when it's needed for a court case. Just when they need it for a court case, all of a sudden the politician doesn't have to follow the ruse. They can destroy evidence because that's what they're doing. They're destroying evidence of wrongdoing. Otherwise, they would cough up those emails. And as you said, Josh, well, the server in the building should have copies of the emails. The people that she sent the email to or she got the email from, they should all have their emails on their drives. What happened there?
Also, most places use cloud storage, so it's not like the email is stored on your computer. Hart, I have a Gmail account. They're stored at Gmail. I only access them from my computer. They're not stored on my computer.
See, I'm reading from an article on Politico.com. This is, and they're talking about how earlier this week, Ways and Means Republicans said as many as 6 IRS employees involved in the scandal also mysteriously lost email and computer crashes, including the former chief of staff for the acting IRS commissioner. Now, these aren't people that are running, like, I don't know, expensive graphics programs. These aren't people that are doing, like, DVD menu design that require a lot of serious computer power. Why the fuck is your email, your hard drive going to go bad for your emails? Normally, this is an issue you have when you have a lot of music or film or video on your drive. Why would these drives all of a sudden only for 6 months? Because before May 2003, the IRS backed up their emails only for 6 months on a tape. Then they recycled the tapes. Are you fucking kidding me? They recycle their tapes. Are you fucking kidding me? You're telling me the IRS is only going to back up emails for 6 months when I have to back up my financial records for 7 years. You have to keep your financial records for 7 years for the IRS, but they're only keeping their emails for 6 months? It sounds like there's different rules for the politicians and for their minions than there are for you and me and the regular people that put them in jobs and the regular people that actually pay their fucking salary. I find this very dubious that the former chief of staff for the acting IRS commissioner conveniently has computer crashes that eliminate these emails. How convenient, Josh?
It's worse than convenience. It's suspicious.
And this isn't new. The IRS has been able to retrieve about 24,000 of Lerner's emails sent to other IRS employees by recovering them from other agents who received, sent, or were copied on the emails. However, Kashinkinen, I'm massacring that name, has acknowledged that the IRS won't be able to find emails Lerner sent outside the agency. Why not? The NSA has a record of every fucking email sent. The NSA has it going all the way back to before 9/11. Why not have the NSA come up with these files? We know they don't get rid of them in 6 months. And what kind of an idiot is going to... Do you, Josh, when you're done, do you throw out your bills and files after 6 months? Do you throw out your emails from me after 6 months?
No, everything goes into the archive folder.
Exactly. I've got everything in my archives, and I back them up. I burn them off onto CD. Why are these even on a tape? A CD or a DVD costs next to nothing. Why aren't all these emails backed up on a DVD?
Because they need a convenient excuse, a reason.
I don't believe for 1 minute that these idiots are backing up emails on a tape. I don't. It's so much easier just to burn a DVD or a CD. But what we have here is employees of our government lying to us. They will eavesdrop on you, your mother, your father, your mayor. They're going to eavesdrop on your local police chief. They're eavesdropping on every politician in the White House making decisions. They are eavesdropping on every company, every corporation making communications. They are finding out that the NSA has these programs, tapping it in at the source. They're tapping it in all over the world. Different countries so involved that there's a program called the Five Eyes program for this spying. Yet somehow, when it's important for the public to know what's going on with their money or with their police force or their military, somehow the records mysteriously get destroyed. And it's disgusting, and we have to stand up and say enough with the lies, enough with the convenient destruction, because, hey, it's the IRS here. Let's get the NSA involved.
I would think then the NSA is going to have an audit.
It seems to me that if the NSA is able to supply illegal eavesdropping information to the DEA for drug cases, it would be very easy for the NSA to supply the same information about the IRS. But our government doesn't want to do that. And that's a big part of why they want to shut down the web. They want to keep guys like me and Josh from talking to people like you and the rest of the listeners on Heart Attack. You guys, I really want to congratulate you. I have been getting a lot of really smart stuff on Facebook. A lot of you guys have been commenting and helping me figure out whether stuff is bullshit or it's for real. So I want to thank the Heart Attack audience. You guys have really been great with sending me stories. If you want to find me on Facebook, we're on facebook.com/heartattackradio. Then we're on Twitter, Hart_Fisher. Go ahead and hit me up. I want to hear from you. I want to hear what you got to say. So that's about it. We've got to wrap up this Heart Attack. If folks at home, I don't know if Josh has mentioned it, but he's got a thing happening right now. Josh, what's that web address?
It's at gofundme.com/A8I4ZS. Easiest thing is to go to my Facebook page.
Exactly. Just go to Josh's Facebook page. Check it out. What's the name they should be looking up, Josh?
It's Save My House. Basically, I have till the end of the month to come up with $6,000 more, $7,000 total, and I need your help.
Folks, we were able to help Dr. DeMars, the mother of Ronda Rousey, raise completion funds for her Kickstarter program. We've been able to help other various people save their homes. Now it's your chance to help Josh Hadley save his home. I urge you folks to check out Save My House by Josh Hadley on GoFundMe.com. Take a look. Even if you've only got like $5 to kick in, every dollar counts. Help the poor guy out. I'm Hart Fisher. Thanks for letting me give you just a little bit of a heart attack.
Sterilized hypo to shoot a sex machine drug. It got 24 hours. Shoot up all in between the legs. 96 tears through 24 hours. Sex once every hour.
I saw this week that Washington Post columnist George Will has declared the war on women all over again. He says he does not believe the statistic that 1 in 5 women is sexually assaulted while in college. He believes that liberals, feminists, and, quote, other nefarious forces have conspired to turn being a rape survivor into, and I'm still quoting here, a coveted status that confers privileges. As a result of this plot, victims proliferate, and that he thinks sexual assault should only be confined to penetration, and that, quote, non-consensual sexual touching, such as having your breasts or other parts of your body touched against your will, does not qualify as sexual assault.
Well, I mean, clearly he knows a lot about sexual assault on women, given that he's a woman. Oh, no. No, he's not a woman. What the fuck does he know? This guy needs to be beaten in the head with something. Of that, I am certain.
I'm certain that when guys like George Will admit to themselves that they're never going to have sex again, there is no limit to the ignorant, misogynistic bullshit that can come out of them.
Well, I think this actually speaks to, unfortunately, a larger problem we have. I'm going to make a joke first that I'm stealing from a certain Charles McMullen. Now, the rape statistics say that 60% of sexual assaults go unreported. How do they know that? If they're unreported, how do they have a number of how many unreported sexual assaults are there, right?
That tells me that 60% of all rape is committed by statisticians.
Getting the joke out of the way, sexual assault is a problem. I don't believe in rape culture. I don't believe that term rape culture, because a rape culture would be that where the culture endorses it, where it is so endemic that there is more rape than there isn't and that the culture okays it. Whereas look at the so-called rape culture we have right now. Is the rapist usually the hero? No. The few times rape is endorsed as something good, say in rap music or heavy metal music, is it not looked down upon? Yes. So that says we do not have a rape culture. But then you've got people like George Will with this kind of Mad Men 1950s, come here, hon, sit on my lap and take a memo kind of bullshit. How does this still exist in 2014?
I really don't understand. I mean, there are people who are stuck in a different decade who look fondly back on the old days when women were women and men were men, and that meant women were property and could be done with whatever a man pleased. And some people are just stuck there, and they think that all new things are bad, and any changes in society are reflective of the horrible next generation, that dreaded future generation who's there to mess up everything that was ever good, when really it's just called progress.
Men who are afraid of women, honestly.
Well, I mean, it could be that I don't know, because I think everybody's different and everybody has their different reasons, but I would not argue that he probably is afraid of women. He's probably afraid of women having any kind of power because he doesn't trust women, doesn't believe in women, and that's really disheartening, because I think that's where a lot of it is. People don't trust that women can function without men, or that women can, you know, do things without assistance of men. And I don't know where I'm rambling on with this, but this is definitely a guy who kind of looks back on the old days where you could kind of do whatever you wanted to a woman because you were a man and that's okay. So, for example, fondling someone unwillingly is not sexual assault because, hey, she probably wanted it anyway.
Well, we lost Charlie at some point in this, internet issues, so just Kat and I will go on. But then, Kat, let's look at what I found to be the most offensive part of this George Will issue. Being a rape survivor has coveted status that confers privileges, unquote.
You can't see me because this is just audio, but I'm face-palming, like double face-palming right now, which is kind of like uncomfortable because I wear glasses. So I would only double face-palm if it was really, really stupid.
I don't understand. First of all, I don't even understand what he's getting at, in all honesty. What privileges come with being raped? Is it like a victim status that he thinks being a victim is something people want to be?
Well, I mean, and this could easily just flow to, there are people who think that all rape victims are, you know, girls crying wolf to get back at a guy. And so if you have somebody who really wasn't hurt, but is now elevated, quote unquote, elevated to victim status, who people are now going to feel sorry for, and, you know, she could file a lawsuit and make some money. If you think all rape victims are like that, then I could almost see the idea of a victim status being something desirable. But if you think that all rape victims are girls crying wolf, then you are a fucking moron.
But then he also, by that definition, and now this is me reading into that, okay? He is basically ignoring not only the statistics, but all of the evidence that says being a victim is not a good thing. Victim means you have been victimized. That's not a good thing. That's not something people aspire to. But that also is alleviating responsibility on the victimizer, is it not? Isn't it almost saying, like you jokingly said before, she probably secretly wanted it anyway? That it's almost kind of that boys will be boys.
Indeed.
But then you've got that victim status. He's using the victimhood status as something bad. Well, how about Tony Perkins and the head of the Family Research Council, where he seems to think Christians are the victims of gays, to change the topic slightly.
Sorry.
I'm gonna quote again. I'm beginning to think, are re-education camps next? When are they going to start rolling out the boxcars and start hauling off the Christians? Unquote.
Oh, there's a human being so out of touch with reality. Oh, that is really, really sad, but kind of funny because he's stupid.
Well, he is the head of the Family Research Council, and they think that Christians... or that gays have a witch hunt against Christians instead of the Christians having the witch hunt against gays. That's what I'm kind of going, where is this line, Kat, that you've got Will talking about how everyone wants to be a victim, and then you've got Christians claiming victimhood when they're the victimizer. These two things do kind of go together, I think, don't they?
Well, it's all about what's convenient for me, you know? Like, for example, a man who has probably never been raped, it's really easy and convenient for him to say that feminists and their ilk are nefarious and detrimental to our society because they're creating people want to be considered victims, and it's so much better to be a victim and blah, 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 blah. And that's just convenient for him because this has probably never happened to him before. And then it's very convenient for Christians to say, oh, well, people are persecuting Christians. And there was actually in that article a really great comment, and it was probably one of two comments there. And it said, Christians love to be persecuted. They, even when they're not being persecuted, they will find a reason to be persecuted just so that they have something to bitch about.
And we got Charlie back.
Sorry, everybody.
You spilled your bong water on the computer, didn't you?
Well, spill is a strong term, as is water.
So, to me, I think you've got George Will saying victimhood is something everyone wants, and then you've got Tony Perkins claiming victimhood. So all at the same time, victimhood looks good to these people. Why else would the Christians be claiming that they are the victims of the gays if there wasn't some sort of a privilege, right? Did Tony Perkins just prove that George Will is right?
I don't know. That's kind of bizarre. I mean, I hear the words, is George Will right, and my brain won't accept him. So I'm going to say no, but I have nothing to back that up with.
You're basically saying, here's people who are saying, people want to be considered victims because it elevates them, their status, and there's perks that come with being a victim. And yeah, I can totally see that with Christians. Once again, I feel like we bring this up every couple of episodes or so, but like, there is no war on Christianity. People are not trying to tell you that they're going to haul you off to camps for being Christian. It's just a completely made up war to make you afraid of people. And in this case, afraid of gays for no reason at all. And so that they want you to be afraid of this impending Holocaust by the gays, which is so ridiculous.
Be a homocaust?
A homocaust.
What does this also say about the whole victimhood status thing? That isn't it that, like, the victimhood of Tony Perkins is just a cover for hate? That, wait a minute, they can't say we're being hateful if we're the victims, right?
I think that's a lot of what's behind it. I think people love to be victims because that unequivocally proves that they're not the aggressor. Even if they are, they don't want to be looked on in that way. I think Christians especially, I don't know if they want to be the victim, but they definitely want to be martyrs, because I can think of one Christian that was martyred and things seem to have worked out okay for him.
Yeah, nothing makes them feel more fucking self-righteous than being a martyr, even if that's all just completely made up bullshit. You're absolutely right about being a martyr. It's the whole they love to be persecuted so that they can feel better about themselves. And it gives them a unifying enemy so that maybe they can stop fighting amongst themselves. I mean, it really is. It's just a bunch of D-bags who just don't like somebody for some reason. But it's not their fault. It's the other person's fault, because you can't admit that there's something wrong with your religion. That would be sacrilegious.
Indeed. What about, though, when you don't even pretend you're the victim? Let's look at, from Houston, LaMarique City Council member Connie Troub. She sits on the school board, and she made this comment, quoting, "It's not going to get any better until you get those blacks off the school board. She really turned black. She got on the school board with the rest of the blacks, and they all just ganged up, and that's why the school system has gone to hell." Unquote. What she was talking about was the mayor giving the blacks equal status, I guess. That how dare black people sit on our school board, everything's gone to hell from that. But to be fair, she didn't back down. Quoting again, "What is on the tape is nothing more than me stating my honest opinion, and I won't back down from that." Unquote. I gotta give her at least a little bit of credit for not doing the typical backpedaling, "Oh, I'm sorry, that's not really what I meant."
I would give her credit for that, but then I have to take away credit from every gun owner in the state that has not killed her.
I was gonna say she's got some serious stones to not try and come out with release a statement or something to sort of explain away that comment. On the other hand, she shouldn't be so fucking proud of it.
Yeah, she almost had I got like this smug tone off of it, like, yeah, I'm racist, so.
I mean, I know some people who are racist and proud, and like, that's just something you've got to deal with. But these are not people who are in a position of power and have any desire to assert their racism over other people.
But there's also the fact that what she's trying to do is scapegoat or pass the buck. Now, I'm not familiar with the Houston school system. I don't know if it really has gone to hell. I would really think it's not because there's a black on the school board, but maybe it has gone to hell and she's just trying to find a reason, and she can't find a reason that maybe it's been defunded, or maybe that the students are getting dumber, or maybe people like her are sitting on the school board is one of the problems. She's just looking for a reason, and to her, she's an older white lady, blacks are the problem. Is that not also, in keeping with everything else we've talked about in this segment, just a mask for hate?
I think it's a mask in the same way that cutting two holes in a paper plate and putting it over your face is a mask. It's not much of a mask.
I was going to say, I don't think that qualifies as a mask, because even a paper plate with holes in it requires effort to try and conceal something. And I think that's a great disservice to small children who do that, you know, in like arts and crafts or something.
There are no arts and crafts anymore.
Calling it a mask for hate is demeaning to masks everywhere.
No, it's not even masking hate. It's pretty much going, here's what I think is wrong, and it's black people. Black people is what's wrong with us, and that's my opinion, and I'm sticking to it.
Ironically enough, I'm very intolerant of racists.
But intolerance of intolerance is still intolerance. So you
it is.
I'm not like Charlie in that. I'm actually tolerant of that. I think neo-Nazis, the Black Panthers, Nation of Islam, all that, I think they have every right to exist and they have every right to their views. It's only when those views start to affect others is where I have the problem. So I might not share those views, but I staunchly believe they have the right to those views. I think you can be as racist as you want. That is your right. I don't agree with that whole liberal position that racism is wrong and we must stamp it out. No, because then you are exerting your views over someone else's. I don't agree with that.
Well, that's not exactly what I'm saying. I'm not saying stamp out everyone with, everyone's views if they're hateful. I'm not saying that. People are entitled to their views. What I'm saying is that this is sort of highlighting everything that's wrong with democracy. People like this, who are just ignorant and fucking racist and just bigoted, people that have no value in a democratic society, keep getting elected to positions of power. I mean, how many stories on this show have we talked about when some congressman or senator makes it that far in politics and then unleashes a bunch of racist venom that he now has the power to enact?
Let's look at the Eric Cantor thing. I didn't even really plan to talk about that. Eric Cantor, minority representative from the Republican Party, and he just got beat. He's an incumbent by a Tea Partier in his primary. Basically, the Tea Party was saying that this guy who has blocked Obama on every single stance, helped shut down the government, defunded food stamps, tried to get institutional racism put back into America, was not conservative enough. And the people voted for that. They said, yeah, you know what? You're right. Eric Cantor doesn't speak for me anymore. Every week I repeat this. There's a civil war coming. This Eric Cantor thing is just one more flash to how quickly it's going to happen. The guy that just got elected, outright, I will not even talk to Democrats. This is the man that just got all the votes.
I wonder about the civil war thing, if only because either we're going to nuke ourselves to death first, of which I am certain will happen.
You're still standing by that, huh?
Yes, I still stand by Cold War era mentality.
Lady, we still have the moon, okay?
We still have the moon, so we clearly haven't gone totally Cold War. But I think it's going to go away eventually. I think young people are eventually going to take positions of power, and the young people are growing up way more open-minded than our predecessors. And eventually, those open-minded people are going to be in positions of power. Whether or not there's going to be a civil war before then, could happen.
I think there is going to be a civil war. I don't think there's any way to avoid it. And I think our society has kind of brought it on itself. I think too many people demand attention for their ignorant shit, and I don't know why.
Look at me!
Exactly. That's what every time I try to watch the news or try to read a newspaper, that's what it all comes across as to me. People just spouting the most extremely ignorant shit that they can. And I don't know why. I mean, I don't want to be as simplistic as saying that it's just for the attention, but it's very difficult not to. Because people don't, I don't know, it's difficult to put into words, man. I don't know. It's things like this that make me not want to involve myself with politics or involve myself with public policy or anything like that. I just don't want to associate myself with the kind of person that I think of when I think of a politician. I've never seen a politician that I agree with on a fundamental level. There's always just that side of them that's just, look at me, everyone's listening to me, and I'm getting off on it. That's what it comes across as to me.
I mean, who grows up and wants to be a politician? Because politicians are easily the sleaziest, like, well-known, I mean, like, they're right up there with used car salesmen and the amount of level of trust you want to put in them. Who grows up and wants to be that?
I can think of a young, one-testicled art student named Adolf who wanted that.
Look at Fidel. He just wanted to play baseball.
He could have been a contender.
I guess my last question would be then, with this kind of rise like this, why does everyone still get shocked when they find out Donald Sterling's point of view, or they find out Connie Troub's point of view, or they find out that Eric Cantor's not conservative enough? Everyone keeps getting shocked we're at this point. Why are we still shocked at this? Why have this has become the norm? Why is it still shocking to, I guess, middle America?
It's because there's nothing Americans can fake better than outrage.
No, sincerity. Once you learn how to fake sincerity, you've made it.
It makes me wonder how much of that oh my gosh, so shocking, is that shock, or is that the media wants you to be shocked about it, so they're pretending like it's a big deal?
So you're saying it's more manufactured, going back to our very first segment?
See that big callback? Yeah, I think a lot of it's like the whole like clickbait on Facebook.
And you won't believe what happened next.
It will blow you away. No, see, like, I think there's just a lot of that. It's a lot of media manufacturing drama to get ratings. And I think people just don't care as much as we think they do. And a lot of this outrage is just the media trying to draw attention to get ratings.
The reason I have you two on the show is to draw attention and get ratings. So where can we find Charles the Fister McMullen?
You can find me in my basement just rocking back and forth in the fetal position, because this episode has been among the most depressing. Like, okay, maybe Steubenville, but Steubenville was more depressing. But this just reinforces all the cynicism that I've spent most of my life trying to overcome. But when I'm not in the basement, you can find me on Facebook, Twitter, at Charlie McMullen. And check out some of the podcasts on geekjuicemedia.com. You'll like them.
And what about Kat? Would you like to leave an uplifting message where people can find you, considering how depressing we've been tonight?
Yes, my Twitter at LabyrinthCat and my Facebook.com/NerdistCat are far less depressing, as is my other podcast, Nerd to the Third Power, over on thatguywiththeglasses.com.
And you can find me, 1201beyond.com. Contact the show at 1201beyond@gmail.com. And I'm also at geekjuicemedia.com. Try to have a good night, guys, and try not to be stupid or racist or both. Try not to be Republican.
Do you want me to? Do you want me to type a memo? Do you want me to type a memo? Do you want me to type a memo? Type a memo. Do you want me to type a memo?
What the fuck is a 1201 Beyond production? Visit 1201beyond.com for more great shows.